The Daily Mix Show presents the most popular radio game on this side of the speaker. Let's play Beat Mix.
Beat Mix, don't be a loser.
Who is ready to beat Migs? I know Zach from Tacoma is. Zach, are you there?
I'm here.
Good morning, Zach. Steve.
Yes.
Time to exit the studio.
Fine.
For those playing at home, Zach has 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. You can pass all you want, but you will only get three guesses per question. Are you ready?
I'm ready, Taryn.
What chemical element is typically used to fill balloons?
Helium.
Correct. Montague and Capulet were the last names of what romantic pair?
Romeo and Juliet.
That's right. What restaurant chain is famous for the Grand Slam?
Denny's.
Yeah. The dwarf planet Ceres is between Mars and what other planet?
Earth?
No.
Jupiter.
Yes. What Asian dog breed is known for its blue or black tongue?
It's blue or black tongue?
Yes.
Ooh, is that a chow?
It is. Yeah. How many European countries does the Rhine River run through?
Oh, let's go 14?
No.
Four?
No.
Nine?
No. Francis Scott Key penned the words of what patriotic song?
Is that the national anthem?
What is it called?
Star-Spangled Banner?
Yes. Gingivitis is the inflammation of what?
Your gums.
Yes. In what ocean would you find the Gulf Stream?
The Gulf Stream. The Atlantic?
Yes. And with that, you got 8 correct, Zach.
Woo.
That's that Zach attack.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Zach attack. Zach attack. Zach attack. Oh, wow. Are Danny was doing? Just rooting for Zach
wow.
for a second there, Steve.
It was just catchy.
A2, Danny.
Steve attack. Steve
yeah,
wins.
Steve I don't attack. Know.
Steve, are you ready to attack?
I am.
All right.
What chemical element is typically used to fill balloons?
Helium.
Correct. Montague and Capulet were the last names of what romantic pair?
Romeo and Juliet.
That's correct. What restaurant chain is famous for the Grand Slam?
Denny's.
Yeah. The dwarf planet Ceres is between Mars and what other planet?
That would be Uranus, Taryn.
No, sir.
Damn it. Pluto.
No.
Saturn?
No. What Asian dog breed is known for its blue or black tongue?
Is that a Lhasa Apso?
No.
A Shih Tzu?
No.
Golden Doodle.
No. How many European countries does the Rhine River run through?
3.
No.
4.
No.
5.
No.
Damn
Francis
it.
Scott Key penned the words of what patriotic song?
Baby Got Back.
No.
The Star-Spangled Banner.
Yes. Gingivitis is the inflammation of what?
Gums.
Yes. In what ocean would you find the Gulf Stream?
The Atlantic.
Yes. Oh. Which scientist established the Roy G. Biv color spectrum?
Einstein.
No.
Newton.
Yes. And with time to spare, Steve, you got 7 correct, but that's not enough to beat Zach, who got 8 correct.
Son of a...
Congratulations,
Let's
Zach.
Let's go, Danny. Yeah.
Zach attack.
And guess what? He didn't even get to the final question, Isaac Newton. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Well, yeah, you're acting like as if he would have got it right.
He did know that the dwarf planet between... Ceres between Mars and Jupiter is the other planet.
Jupiter.
The Asian dog breed known for its blue or black tongue. He did know that it's the chow.
The chow.
Or chow chow. And the number of European countries that the Rhine River runs through, neither of you knew that it's just 6.
Oh.
Just 6.
I went in the wrong direction.
The Daily Migs Show.
Billy Joel wanted to make absolutely certain that his 150th and final residency show at Madison Square Garden in New York City was going to be a special one. So he was joined by Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses for a couple of songs during this big concert.
I was like, oh, this is awesome. Axl and Billy Joel together.
You want to hear what it sounds like? Here we go. It's Axl and Billy on Live and Let Die.
Maybe it's just a bad cell phone. Thank you for muting that.
They also did a cover together, another cover, I should say, of Highway to Hell. And this time, Billy was on the guitar.
Okay, and now Axl has sang with, well, I was going to give him a pass, but like Guns N' Roses have sang Live and Let Die all the time.
It's for
actually
sure.
One of their singles. But Axl has sang with AC/DC, so this should be fine.
Here you go.
That sounds good.
Let the crowd sing it.
I feel like the crowd is like the ultimate crutch for a guy who's losing his voice.
What was Billy Joel thinking?
Well, he's probably thinking, Axl Rose is here. Jump up on stage with me. This is going to be awesome.
But has he been paying attention to Axl Rose in the last 15, 20 years?
What I want to know is, what is Billy Joel thinking while it's going on and he's listening to it? Because, I mean, yeah, Axl, it's like Axl's so close to sounding like he used to, but there's like just something missing. It's, I think, age. I think you just hit a point where you just can't hit those high notes anymore.
Oddly enough, I went down a weird Guns N' Roses rabbit hole yesterday, and I saw it was like 2023 performance of Axl singing Paradise City, and it sounded so terrible. Like, and it was like, you know, like right, I guess like right after their big tour last year, and it like, you know, it's packed out and everything. And I was like, what did Axl sound like back in the 80s? So I went back and looked up Paradise City back in the 80s, and I'm like, oh, dude needs to just hang it up or get backup singers and just pull his way down.
And that's the thing, is when he sings in his lower register, he sounds great.
Yeah.
He can still do that. But when he tries to do the higher register, it's not working.
Your voice just can't keep doing that.
No.
Like, I mean, back when he was in his 20s, I mean, he could hit those high notes. And even sometimes even then it wasn't perfect, but there was a certain attack to it. There was a certain aggression to it. He's now, what, 50, late 50s, I got to imagine, maybe pushing 60.
Mm-hmm.
I can't expect him to be able to hit those notes anymore. But in that situation, maybe, like you said, like either you have – I would not be opposed if Guns N' Roses had like someone helping him in the background. Like, yeah, I've heard Miles Kennedy, who actually performs with Slash, and he's done Guns N' Roses songs. I'm like, man, this guy is crushing it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I get, though, as a Guns N' Roses fan, you want to see Axl up on stage, but backing vocals wouldn't be a bad thing to maybe help out. But I even noticed that recently there's a brand new Jane's Addiction song.
Yeah.
And the new Jane's Addiction song, I genuinely do like it a lot. It's like, it just sounds like an old school Jane's Addiction song. But Perry Farrell can't sing like he used to, and it sounds weird. It just sounds like somebody with a deeper voice now fronting Jane's Addiction, who kind of sounds like Perry Farrell. But it's him. He just, your vocal cords are just, you can't do that anymore.
Back in May, I saw Sting for the first time, and it was very, very good. But I was super excited to hear him play some of these older Police songs and things like that, but they completely changed the key. Because
yeah.
Even Sting can't hit those notes, and he's not going to go out there and embarrass himself. So they modified those songs, and he sounded great.
I wonder if anyone's ever, I mean, I don't know. Do you think that there's just this thing in Axl's head, like, I refuse to give this up. I refuse to accept that I'm not a young singer anymore?
100%. It's Axl Rose.
I know there's an ego. Yeah, you're right. There's a massive ego. But there's nobody in his world that could pull him aside and be like, yo, Axl, I don't know if you could do this anymore. Like, you can't sing like that anymore. Maybe you should try something different.
I mean, is the social media backlash not enough?
I wonder like, if they let him see that.
Is someone like filtering what he sees on social media? He should be aware.
I want to put a good amount of money that he's not paying attention to that, or he sees it, he's just like, these are just haters.
Well, you know what's funny too? It's because like there are bands out there. Like one of our favorite bands, Steve, Taking Back Sunday, they, you know, Adam Lazara can't sing them anymore, but they will not post videos of him singing live anymore. I don't know if you noticed that on their Instagram, because they did a couple and they would take them down because the comments were so hateful of being like, and so now they anytime they're playing live, there's like a backing track like playing from their album as opposed to the live version, because there's been so much hate about his voice lately.
So they use a backing track when he's performing?
No, meaning like they'll put on social media only.
Gotcha.
So that way that you can't actually hear the performance, so that way they don't have to read the comments.
See, at least with that band, I mean, they're just such passionate fans that sing along to every single word that he's singing, so I think he could kind of like just keep that microphone away from his voice and just let the crowd take over.
You guys, it's your turn.
But then again, I mean, I saw Guns N' Roses. Granted, it was at the Gorge. It was like maybe close to 10 years ago now, but still, it wasn't when Axl's voice was in its prime. But when you're there in the room and everyone's singing along, it's not nearly as hard on the ears as it is when you hear like a cell phone recording or like a live recording on like on a YouTube page.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Billy might have been better off just doing his set without him.
Poor Billy.
The Daily Migs Show. Everyone knows social media is a time suck, and what you're about to hear proves it. If it's online, someone, somewhere has an opinion and is whining about it. So let's get straight to the comments.
From the world of the WNBA, there have been a lot of games disrupted by a sex toy being thrown onto the court as of late.
Yeah, remember, it started with one and then wasn't expecting this to become a copycat thing.
No, a couple of people have even been arrested because of this. And yes, there's a 12 news report in Phoenix talking about one of these incidents.
New at 10, Phoenix police say they arrested a man for allegedly throwing a sex toy in the crowd during last night's Mercury game. 18-year-old Caden Lopez made his first court appearance today, facing charges of disorderly conduct and assault.
I mean, his future is very bright. 18, throwing what rhymes with schmildos onto the court.
Oh, no.
This comes after three similar incidents at WNBA games over the last week. The league released a statement earlier this week reminding fans not to throw objects of any kind onto the court.
Not even those kind.
No, and now they're doing like a temporary no bag policy a lot of these arenas and things of that nature. But I'm thinking, like, do you even need a bag to smuggle in one of those things?
I don't know. You tell us.
You do not.
I don't know if it was true or not. I think I saw something, and I was like half reading it, so don't quote me on this one. But like, they're even thinking about putting like netting around the court, kind of like, you know, to make sure things can't be thrown. And it's just like, this is just crazy.
So that way they can bounce off and hit somebody in the face.
Serve them right. Get bonked in the face with the thing that you just threw onto the field.
As you can imagine, there are many opinions on this subject matter, so let's go straight to the comments.
All right, so we found a bunch of those comments, and, well, we had to figure out who should read these comments. And I figured, well, let's find someone who's been, you know, maybe, well, sadly no longer a part of this planet, but at some point they lived a long life, and they maybe have experienced using one of these things in their time. I don't know. It's a stretch.
Okay.
Betty White. When all else fails, go with Betty White.
I'm sure Betty White used to get down.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we found Robot Betty White reading some of these comments about the people who decided that there should be a no bag policy when it comes to going to WNBA games to keep those toys from being brought in. Are you ready for the first comment?
Oh, yeah.
There's other ways to sneak them in, but it's not going to be pretty.
Okay. Yeah. I think Taryn just illustrated that.
It'll be obvious.
A lot of happy ladies walking into the game.
This won't help. Weirdos will keep being weirdos.
That is probably one of the truest statements of all time.
Definitely.
The weird people will continue to be weird people.
And they will accept this as a challenge.
Yes.
It's actually a great promotional tool for the league.
Okay. True. Emphasis on the word tool.
Honestly, a no deal policy seems more appropriate. But go ahead and ban bags.
Don't bring logic into this argument, please.
No.
If you throw it, they will come.
Is that the catchphrase for the new film?
If you throw it, they will come.
Oh, boy.
Field of not-so-dry dreams. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, good.
I'm waiting for the day when there's a player taking a free throw and everyone behind the basket is waving dildos above their head.
Yeah, like, remember, like, they have, like, those balloons that blow up into, like,
yes!
They just look like little clubs.
The little, yeah, that you clap together.
Yeah. That would be very distracting.
I am envisioning a really fun giveaway night.
This is a marketing opportunity. Instead of bobbleheads, giveaway. Well, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure the Seattle Storm are going to get right on that.
Oh, they're all over it.
The Daily Migs Show.
Do you have a unique way of paying tribute to someone in your life? Call us up now, 206-803-ROCK. Geno Smith sat down with Paul Sylvie and had this great interview on King 5 where Paul asked him about the meaning behind why he wears the number 7. And Geno gave a really awesome answer. Here it is.
It's very sentimental to me. My grandmother, she was born on June 7th. She passed on May 7th, my senior year in college. And so, as you said, you know, I was number 12 pretty much my entire life up until that point. And then, you know, I had to pick a new number when I got to the Jets. You know, like Joe Namath, the number 12 is retired. So I had to figure out a new number. And, you know, seven, I just thought of my grandmother. You know, she had passed the year before. And that number seven just hit me right between the eyes. And so, you know, I've been wearing number seven. I was number three, you know, when I was with the Chargers. But for the most part, you know, seven's always been my deal.
Okay, so can I take that a step further? Is that why you named your son seven?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That makes sense.
And G is the seventh letter in the alphabet, so he's still G. Smith in a way.
I love that.
Just confirmed, Geno Smith has to do a drug test for smoking weed, because that totally sounded like a stunt. And get this, Paul, G is the seventh letter.
Do you have
That's awesome, actually. That's a really,
really
great
is.
Story. I love that.
Very heartwarming. Do you have a unique way that you've paid tribute to someone? We want to hear about it, so call us now, 206-803-ROCK. Katie in Spanaway, tell us about your mom.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
What's up, Katie?
So my senior year of college, my mother passed away, and she was an avid gardener. So every Mother's Day, I plant special pots of flowers in her honor.
I love that.
Yeah.
Did your mom have a favorite plant or a favorite flower?
She was really into geraniums, which is a spring plant, and she loved tulips.
Well, Katie, I offered this piece of advice. If you ever need anyone to take care of those plants when you're on vacation, do not ask me or my wife, because we clearly are terrible at gardening, keeping plants alive. We can't seem to... We are awful at it.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I only have plants outside my house. Because inside my house, I seem to kill them.
Oh, the ones outside die the quickest. Like, in one day, they're already gone. I'm like, my wife's like, did you water them? I'm like, yes. Did you not see me just dousing this thing with water? We're terrible. We do not have green thumbs.
Andy in Tacoma, you also paid tribute to your mom. In what way?
Yes, good morning. I paid tribute to my mom by finding humor in sometimes odd places or ways. My mom passed away in 93 of breast cancer. And a couple weeks before she died, I was in bed with her talking to her, and she had a wig on that looked just like her hair. And I asked her, I said, Mom, what's up with your hair? It hasn't moved. And I know it's a wig. And she leaned over real close, and she goes, double stick carpet tape. Oh, my God, it was so funny. If my mom on her deathbed can laugh at herself, I think I have the right to find humor almost anywhere and laugh at anything I want to.
Absolutely.
Dude, I love that. That's a great story.
What is your tribute tattoo?
It's funny because I have a lot of the tattoos on my left arm are a tribute to my grandfather. Not all of them, but a lot of them are a tribute to my grandfather who passed away. My mom's dad on that side, loved the guy. He's one of the greatest people I've ever met in my entire life. And to this day, I still feel like I carry a lot of like his virtues.
Mm-hmm.
And when he passed away, I was like, oh, I want to get a tattoo. And so when he passed, he left me this pendant that is a scorpion. It's like it's for a necklace. It's not worth a dime. It's worth nothing to anyone other than me, kind of a thing. It was left to me, though. It was a scorpion on it because he was a Scorpio. So I don't wear jewelry. So I was like, so I brought that scorpion tattoo to my buddy Jeff, who was a tattoo artist. Sadly, he's no longer with us. Rest in peace, Jeff. But like, he tattooed the scorpion on my arm, which I didn't realize. The irony is my grandfather would be so pissed. He hated all my tattoos. He hated tattoos. So the fact that I have, like, you know, the prayer card of the Virgin Mary on one side of that same arm and then the giant scorpion tattoo, which takes up my entire forearm. And at the time, I didn't have a sleeve, which is big-ass scorpion. I didn't really think about the fact that everyone's going to think I'm a Scorpio.
Oh.
So everywhere I went, someone would be like, hey, oh, cool, bro, Scorpio too. And I'm like, what the, huh? And then I realized, oh, man, no. And then they'd be like, why do you have a scorpion then? And I had to tell them it's before my dead grandfather, and it gets awkward. So then I finally got to the point where I just started saying yes. I'm like, yeah, bro, Scorpio's for life.
October.
And my wife would be like, the hell? You're not a Scorpio. I'm like, it's a lot easier than bumming somebody out by saying it's for my dead grandfather.
Well, I think it's a rad sleeve you got there, Steve.
What about you?
Well, I have the Daily Family crest, because we're Scottish. I've got the Daily Family crest tattooed on my side, and also the... kind of in honor of my dad's side of the family, my grandpa. But again, my grandpa would probably have freaked out if he knew
right?
I was all
tatted
up. Right,
isn't that funny?
Yeah, because he passed when I was 14, and I didn't get this tattooed until, you know, after I turned 18, but definitely a family tribute.
Danny, you have tribute tattoos as well.
Yeah, mine is, I have my last name and I have two butterflies, and it was supposed to represent
two butts. I'm like, what are
two butts? Yes, two butterflies. No, it's for me and my mom, because it's always just been me and my mom, and her favorite thing is a butterfly. So I did two of those, but then I was able to work it in once Lily was born, and I put Lily's name with Lily flowers, and so now it says Lily Astoria V. Hill. So it's kind of like this whole thing that's kind of incorporated.
That's cool.
Yeah,
I love that.